Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click Promote and publicize your congregation to the world.
The family of slain abortion provider George Tiller says the clinic will be permanently closed. The Tiller family said in a statement released by his attorneys Tuesday that it is ceasing operation of the clinic and any involvement by family members in any similar clinic. Tiller was shot to death May 31st while serving as an usher at the Lutheran Church in Wichita, Kansas that he regularly attended.
Well, they say all's well that ends well. You hear the news about George Tiller's abortion clinic, where it is reported some 60,000 abortions were performed, a number of them, a significant percentage of them, late-term abortions, or 60,000 attributed to Tiller alone at that abortion clinic. And you say, well, there's some good news coming out of a bad news for the pro-life movement. Bad news in that Tiller was gunned down by a member of the pro-life movement at his church on a recent Sunday. But in the end, the clinic's shut. Family's not going to do any more. They're going to get out of the abortion business, in essence, which is what has supported them all these years. All's well that ends well. I'm Todd Wilkin. Welcome to Issues Etc. Thanks for tuning us in. It's Tuesday afternoon, the 9th of June. We've got some audio open lines for the first half hour of the program. I want your reaction to the murder of abortionist George Tiller. You've had a couple of weeks to think about it, to think it over and to hear the arguments on both sides. There are those who say that this was justified. That's a minority voice. There are those who say that this is only going to spawn more violence against abortionists, more violent activity against abortion clinics. And then there are the critics of the pro-life movement who say that the movement creates the kind of characters who shoot abortionists. I want your reaction to all of that. How would you respond to the critics who say it's the problem with the pro-life movement? It may appear peaceful most of the time, but very, 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 very little beneath the surface, there is a violent streak in America's pro-life movement. How do you respond? 1-877-623-6943 is our call-in number. 1-877-623-MYIE. We also have an in-studio email address for you. talkback@issuesetc.org. talkback@issuesetc.org. What about someone who says that the death of George Tiller has resulted in good with the clinic shutting down? How would you respond to that? Do you agree? 1-877-623-6943 or talkback@issuesetc.org. We'll also hear some discussion about violence in the pro-life movement in this first half hour of Audio Open Lines. In the second half hour of the program, we're going to hear some comments from our listeners from the Issues Etc. comment line. People call this all the time, 24/7, with questions, comments, suggestions, criticism. We'd like to hear it all. We'd like you to hear it as well. In about 20 minutes, we'll hear from our listeners from the Issues Etc. comment line. In the second hour of the program, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse will join us. We're going to talk about cohabitation. It's an old-fashioned word, isn't it? Living together, which for many people doesn't even register as an odd thing. They used to call it living in sin or living without the benefit of clergy or of marriage. And nowadays, it's just the way a lot of people live together. We'll talk about cohabitation. Then we continue our conversation on the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. That goes nicely with living together, doesn't it? Pastor George Borghardt will join us of St. Mark Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas. Again, our call-in number for the next 2 hours, and especially for this audio open lines in the first half hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talkback@issuesetc.org. So here are the questions I'm laying on the table. How do you respond to someone who says, all's well that ends well? Yes, George Tiller was murdered. It was a murder, but it shut down the family clinic. No more abortions in Wichita. And good has resulted. How do you respond? 1-877-623-6943. Or talkback@issuesetc.org. There are critics of the pro-life movement who say that the movement is inherently violent. It stirs up violence in people, and if you got an unstable individual like the man who murdered George Tiller, he's simply egged on by the pro-life movement and its rhetoric to do what he did. How do you respond? 1-877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org. And there are those who are concerned that one murder leads to another. It will spawn more violence against abortionists. Do you agree or disagree? Talk back at issuesetc.org or 1-877-623-MYIE. Well, here's a discussion on the Rachel Maddow show of MSNBC about violence and the pro-life movement.
The man accused of murdering Kansas doctor George Tiller says that more violence against abortion providers is coming unless abortion is outlawed. Exactly 1 week after he allegedly gunned down Dr. Tiller inside Tiller's church, Scott Roeder made a phone call from the Sedgwick County, Kansas jail to the Associated Press, during which he said, quote, I know there are many other similar events planned around the country as long as abortion remains legal. The AP asked Mr. Roeder if he meant specifically that there would be more shootings. Mr. Roeder refused to elaborate. However, he did tell the AP that he refused to talk to investigators when he was arrested last week, and that even though he's now been charged with first-degree murder and aggravated assault, he still hasn't spoken to police. So, we have a man in custody accused of committing an act of violent extremism, known to have ties to extremist groups, saying he has knowledge of future violent attacks. But he's not talking to authorities. It's tempting to be flip about this and to wonder if Dick Cheney will be calling for a waterboarding anytime soon. But the more serious question is this. Is the U.S. treating Dr. Tiller's assassination as terrorism? We do know that the Justice Department has opened up an investigation to determine whether or not Mr. Roeder acted alone, and that U.S. Marshals have been dispatched to protect other abortion providers and clinics. But is it enough? Responding to Mr. Roeder's jailhouse threat of attacks yet to come, the attorney for the late George Tiller's family told the Associated Press, quote, I am hopeful that state and federal authorities, including Homeland Security, will give Mr. Roeder and his information a deserving response.
All right. So far, so good. What do you think? Domestic terrorism? I mean, it's a question that I understand the temptation, as she pointed out, to be flip about this, but if this is an act of terrorism with a single one, with promises of more from the jailhouse, the man who murdered George Tiller, allegedly murdered George Tiller, I don't think there's any question that they got the right guy here. He's fairly well admitting to it without admitting to it. Should it be treated that way? Should the pro-life movement be viewed as, at the very least, the unwitting home of domestic terrorism? Is that a justified charge to make against the pro-life movement? It's not a big record of violence, but there is a record of violence, isn't there? It tends to come around every decade or so, but there are those within the pro-life movement who do contemplate it and sometimes carry it out. What do you think? 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. It's audio open lines this Tuesday afternoon, the 9th of June. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Talk back at issuesetc.org.
Joining us now is Frank Schaefer, author of the book Crazy for God, How I Grew Up as One of the Elect, Helped Found the Religious Right, and Lived to Take All or Almost All of It Back. Mr. Schaefer, thank you so much for coming back on the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You used to be part of the religious right more broadly and specifically part of the anti-abortion movement. When you were involved in that movement, was violence ever discussed as part of just political strategy and as part of the overall ambient discussion about those politics?
Yeah, I got involved in the movement early, in the early 1970s, dropped out in the mid-80s. But when we were involved, I say we because my father, Dr. C. Everett Koop, and other pro-life leaders who brought evangelical Protestants into the movement were active, we were essentially concentrating on the issue itself, just getting evangelicals to take part in voting their conscience on the issue, perhaps picketing abortion clinics and so forth. By the time I was getting out, this movement had become much more radicalized. People like Randall Terry and others whom I knew were talking about getting arrested, chaining themselves to abortion clinic fences. There was a lot of talk about vandalizing property, firebombing, gluing locks shut and so forth. When it came to the actual issue of killing, people were making both prescriptive and descriptive discussions of the issue, saying, well, someday someone will do this, one of us will do this, and other people talking about it from the point of view of, well, is this a good tactic? Not would I do it myself, but if someone did, would it help the movement? Would it stop more doctors from doing abortions? Would it hinder the movement? So by the time I was getting out in the mid-'80s, and my last involvement with the pro-life movement in any sense in 1990 or so, it was definitely in the air. And then, of course, our family actually had some connections to some of the people who murdered some abortion doctors in Florida. The person there who killed the abortion doctor and also his escort was someone who had read my dad's books, corresponded with him. A cop who shot somebody else a little later had actually been to my father's ministry for a couple of days, a quick visit to Le Brie Fellowship in Switzerland and many years before, so that we were not involved directly with people who pulled triggers, but we knew that we had some real Fruit Loops and extremists involved in the movement from the very beginning. And as I talk about in my book, the way the movement developed was a gradual process of radicalization.
Do you think that's true? If you've been involved in the pro-life movement for decades now, have you noticed that it's become radicalized, that it's become more bent toward violence? That's what this former pro-life activist says. And he says it's to be expected from the pro-life movement, the kind of things that occurred when George Tiller was gunned down in the narthex of his church in Wichita. What do you think? 1-877-623-6943. What would you say to someone who says that the pro-life movement leads to violence against abortionists, against clinics? How would you respond? Talkback at issuesetc.org. Talkback at issuesetc.org or 1-877-623-6943. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Audio Open Lines Issues Etc. this Tuesday, June the 9th.
For your brothers and your sister and your mother too.
Would you like to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a regular, monthly, tax-deductible gift? We've made it easy for you to donate using automatic withdrawal. Simply fill out and mail the automatic billing authorization form under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. No more writing monthly checks or making monthly PayPal contributions. issuesetc.org. Click donate and fill out and mail the automatic withdrawal form. Thanks for your support.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring Issues Etc. back, Marku Hypanen, Don Schell, Fred Zender, Tara Rode, John Danhauer, Branton Scruggs, Ernst Schmidt, Benjamin Giffoni, and Leroy Sunbum. Thanks for your support.
Treadmill for the Mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click promote and publicize your congregation to the world.
Have you heard of the CLCC, the Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission? We're deeply involved in providing seminars to build up Christ's church with education and training for the laity. So far, we've held seminars on confessional topics at churches in Minnesota, Utah, Oregon, and Washington, and planning is underway to hold seminars in several other states coast to coast. Visit the CLCC.org. Check us out. Get on the mailing list, or better yet, join us. See how your church can host a seminar, too. Go to theclcc.org.
Up the stairs to her apartment, she is balled up on the couch.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about abortion and violence's opposition to abortion. One of the sources
of violence against abortionists. With George Tiller's murder, many are saying that the pro-life movement is in fact the home of this kind of violence. I want your reaction to it and your response. I'm Todd Wilkin. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or talk back at issuesetc.org. In St. Louis, here's Steve. Hi, Steve.
Hey. You know, if you go back and if someone would take the time to look at history, I bet you would find the same people saying things about John Brown and abolitionists. And because of John Brown raid on Harper's Ferry, hoping to encourage slaves to rise up in a revolt against their masters.
That's an interesting comparison there. And now, would you say that John Brown's inciting to violence was justified?
No, I wouldn't say that. But I think we need to look at history. I want to use another example that occurred to me was this. I propose that all environmentalists are men towards violence because of Earth First. You know, burning down of houses being built, spiking of trees that could injure lumbermen. You know, if we're going to use that form of logic for those people who are against abortion, then we have to use that same logic on those people who are against what they're against would be like environmental destruction.
That's an interesting point, Steve. Hey, before I let you go, are you planning on coming, since you're from St. Louis, are you planning on coming out for the one-year anniversary of Issues Etc. as Return to the Air on the 30th of June?
I will be backpacking in New Mexico with my son's scout troop.
All right, I'll let you off the hook. Thank you very much for the call.
All right.
Speaking of that anniversary, 1 year returning to the air is coming up for us here at Issues Etc. on Tuesday, June the 30th. We've actually had to move the after party, so to speak, the after event on that Tuesday, June the 30th, to a larger venue due to our response. We still want everyone who can come to come out to the LPR studios on Tuesday, June the 30th, right here in Collinsville, Illinois, and help us celebrate the one-year return of Issues Etc. to the air. Tuesday, June the 30th, beginning at 4 o'clock, you get to watch the show done for the last hour, and then we'll all just take a very short drive to our new venue. Well, we have some refreshment and some fellowship and some fun, and everyone is invited. There's no cost associated with this, and all you got to do is RSVP. Craig at issuesetc.org. Craig at issuesetc.org. Just tell them who you are, where you're coming from, and who you're bringing with you. Craig at issuesetc.org. Let's go back to this interview with Rachel Maddow talking about violence in the pro-life movement.
In terms of what's going on right now in the wake of Dr. Tiller's murder, do you think when Scott Roeder threatens that there will be further attacks from his jail cell in Kansas, do you think that there's any chance that Scott Roeder actually knows of specific plans for further violence against abortion providers? Is it likely that he's part of some sort of coordinated network where he might actually have advanced knowledge of future attacks?
I doubt he has advanced knowledge of some specific future attack, although he might have somebody, as was the case with Timothy McVeigh, who is kind of a buddy who he's been trading information with. But what's interesting to me is that he definitely had connections to folks in Randall Terry's group and Operation Rescue. Their name and address and phone number was in his car. I don't think they were part of the planning of this attack. But look, when I was in the pro-life movement, we knew who was gluing doors shut. We knew who was vandalizing property. We knew of people who had thrown firebombs. We knew, of course, people who were in jail. There was this fringe. And the issue to me that I'd like to bring up tonight here on your show is that if the pro-life movement is serious about salvaging its reputation in terms of caring about life rather than in being a domestic terrorist organization, they will begin to alert the FBI and the Justice Department to the people in their midst who they know perfectly well have been gluing doors shut, vandalizing clinics and so forth, which...
I think you've got a point there, don't you? I mean, if you are part of a pro-life group and you know of someone who's been vandalizing a clinic, who's done some kind of, be it a misdemeanor, or is planning some kind of violence, don't you think you should be reporting that to the local authorities or to the FBI? I mean, there is a good point. Now, he says that in the context of saying that the pro-life movement has to save its reputation and redeem its reputation from being a pro-life movement rather than what he called a domestic terrorism organization. Is that overstating the case? 1-877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org. Steve called earlier and said, you know, if a single event or even isolated events of violence are associated with any movement, and if that is going to be the measure by which we call something a domestic terrorist organization, then that would apply to an awful lot of groups that protest an awful lot of different subjects in our society, because every single one of these groups practically has some sort, even if it's a single isolated incident, some sort of violence associated with it. Certainly some of them even more than the pro-life movement. What about you? 1-877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org.
The fact of the matter is, if you want to actually do something about this and you're in the pro-life movement, if you're serious rather than just paying it lip service and saying, oh, this is terrible, we don't believe in murder, we're pro-lifers, most of these pro-life groups have a group of people always on the fringe who are hanging around more extreme than others, who they know have been involved in acts of vandalism, petty theft, maybe a firebombing, this or that. It's time to begin to blow the whistle on these guys. Had that happened with Scott Roeder, Dr. Tiller would not have been murdered.
To be clear, Mr. Schaefer, you're saying that if people are within the movement essentially bragging about having committed smaller acts of violence, not necessarily murder, not necessarily attempted murder, but the types of things that we know that people like Scott Roeder did, the types of things that became federal crimes when the FACE Act was passed, that patriotic Americans who are part of the pro-life movement should do the right thing by the country and make sure those people are turned in.
I mean, look, we've seen this before in this country. We've had domestic terrorism from the left and from the right. If you roll back into the 60s in the Vietnam era, we were at a time when people were committing little acts of vandalism against recruiting stations and so forth, and that began to morph into a more violent weather underground movement and so forth. The fringe element that will do the vandalism is largely the group of people from whom the next group of assassins will be drawn. That's the case with Scott Roeder. These groups, these evangelical groups, these pro-life groups, these Roman Catholic groups, they know they have some people who are wackos in and around their meetings. They've seen them. These are the people who do crazy things. And they know perfectly well that some of them may go to the next step. And in that sense, if they're not doing something about curbing that, And working with law enforcement, they're really then part of the problem.
Frank Schaefer is author of the book Crazy for God. He's blogging now at Huffington Post. Mr. Schaefer, your insight is just invaluable to this whole issue. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
And that's Rachel Maddow from MSNBC. So what do you think about what he had to say? Frank Schaefer, author of Crazy for God. How would you respond to him? He made the point at the end that if you are a member of a pro-life organization and you're aware of someone who's been talking about some kind of violence or criminal activity associated with the pro-life movement, you do have the obligation to report it to law enforcement. Now, there's a line there, isn't there? There's going to be someone who you might think is a kook. All groups have them. Unfortunately, it's not a crime to be a kook. And the FBI might be interested in a kook, but it's hardly going to perhaps rise to the level of them doing something about it. But if someone's talking about a violent act or someone says, I did this, then of course you're going to report them. Is this a sufficient reason? The fact that there has been some silence from pro-life groups on the fringe, perhaps even a violent fringe that may be associated with them, is that a reason to call the pro-life movement a domestic terrorist organization? 1-877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org. We do have to deal with this all's well that ends well take that some have passively or actively taken on the George Tiller murder. My mom always said two wrongs don't make a right. And I don't see morally, no matter how you do your calculus, how two wrongs ever add up to a right. Am I happy that George Tiller's abortion clinic has been shut down by his family? Yes. Am I happy that George Tiller had to die for that to happen? No. does it besmirch the good reputation? And I think it's true that the pro-life movement hasn't lost a good reputation, but does it besmirch a good reputation that the pro-life movement has and deserves when someone commits violence in the name of protecting the unborn? Yes, every single time, even if it means that one of the most notorious abortionists is put out of business and one of the most notorious abortion clinics is shut down. Two wrongs don't make a right. It may end well in that there's no more abortion taking place in Wichita or at that clinic, but that doesn't mean all is well. We never achieve good ends by resorting to evil means. Evil means may appear to produce good ends, but those ends never justify the evil means. The minute we say that the end justifies the means, we have departed and cut ourselves loose from the mooring of anything objectively moral, right and wrong. And in the name of good and evil, in the name of right and wrong, we do wrong. Then we should call a wrong every single time. When we come back from this break, the Issues Etc. comment line. Stay tuned.
Child, he was taken away. There's a place for the baby that died, and there's a time for the mother who...
No ditto heads allowed. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. Stay informed. Read the new broadcast transcripts on this subject. You'll find them at the top of the on-demand page at issuesetc.org. These transcripts are a must-read for every layperson and pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. issuesetc.org. Click on demand.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The murder of George Tiller, the late-term abortionist, will have eternal consequences. What if God had a plan to change the heart of this man and bring him into his kingdom? This murderous action may have prevented this from happening. I personally know former abortionists like Drs. Tony Levitino and Noreen Johnson. Both did abortions, repented, and are now fine Christian witnesses for defending unborn life. I consider them and others brothers and sisters in Christ who will someday be with us in heaven. An act of murder could have denied God's plan for them. It's wrong to try to end one act of violence with another. God has provided a political process by which we can end the killing of innocent human life. If every Christian did their part, we could end it soon.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Ray Bell, Roger Downs, Pastor Daniel Bertaw, Thomas Young, Deb Matthey, Marty Measel, Pastor Carl Noble, Pastor William Bischoff, Pastor Peter Lettick, and Karen Holst. Thanks for your support.